Welcome to Equity Gurus, A Closer Look, where we give you, the investor, an inside view on some of the best and brightest small cap companies operating in the public markets today.
The opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily shared by people who are wrong.
Today I am talking to Noah Israel, President and Director of 3D Sustainable Developments, and his daughter, who is the Commitment Israel, who is the CEO of the company. I met them at a recent future conference in Vancouver, British Columbia, and they're not yet publicly traded. They're a 3D printing company. So, Noah, could I start out? Could you give me a bit of an overview what it is you guys do?
We've been developing large-scale 3D printing, able to print up to an 1,850 square foot structure, focused primarily and optimized for dome-style structures.
Yes.
And doing it with high-performance concrete.
Commitment, can you try to describe this printer?
So our printer is 44 feet in diameter and 25 feet tall, and it's all modular, packed into one shipping container for ease and affordability of transportation, and you set, well, not you, but we set it up on site. It should take 4 to 6 hours. We've never set it up in a hurry before.
Yeah.
But 4 to 6 hours to set it up, and a dome should print in about 8 hours.
Essentially, this printer is using a concrete-like material instead of ink.
Absolutely. Yep. It is high-performance concrete.
This machine, this printer, this piece of hardware, is it proprietary? Did you invent it?
Yes. And we received a patent in April of this year.
I am interested in the sustainability dimension of your company.
The buildings themselves, they require a lot less material to enclose the same amount of square footage.
Yes.
They take 50% less energy for heating and cooling. They can withstand all sorts of natural disasters, such as fires and hurricanes, tornadoes, flooding, so that, you know, floods, water can move in and out and not leave the walls full of mold. Yeah, with modern stick-built houses lasting only 50 to 60 years.
Yeah.
They're so disposable. So we're not specifically targeting the end users. We're really a business-to-business operation. We're looking to provide mass housing solutions for government organizations, for large-scale facilities that need to be set up in a number of different places, you know, that we're currently working on contracts with, where they don't have, there's no local housing there. So they're going to go in and put in this mass facility and need to house hundreds of workers, and there isn't anything nearby. So we're really looking to come in as a solution for other businesses and government organizations and NGOs, you know, to come in for natural disaster relief and those types of operations. To come in and do large-scale projects. So even though we think the end user is going to be thrilled that it's going to cost 50% less to heat and cool their house, and that their house contains safely contains a bunch of waste material, up to 60% waste material, that's, you know, it's all safely sequestered. So it's like these perfect combinations. We can go in and we can provide cleanup, we can produce these high-performance materials deploy it with our 3D printer.
Commitment, I remember we met at that future conference, and I asked you, I said, oh, are you guys publicly traded? And you said, no, everyone's asking me that. We're not yet. Where are you with on your business development cycle? I assume you've built a prototype. Do you have customers?
Yeah, so we just incorporated as a social purpose corporation. That's a designation specifically in Washington State and California. I don't believe BC has it, but so that just, you know, ensures our triple bottom line.
Yes.
There. So we recently incorporated there. We got our patent, and what else did we do here? So we've been working on a number of different agreements. We've got our first licensing agreement, which is actually a Canadian company. Our partner now, Smart Villages Canada, they're working on getting government funding for First Nations developments all across Canada. So we're just launching into a pilot project with them, a five-house pilot project in BC for one of the tribes there. We find out next month whether he received that particular grant for that five elder house pilot project with a long house in the middle. It's a circle, a really neat design, and with their tribal ideas in mind. And so that's our first licensing agreement there. And
now,
then we have
how
two
is,
other.
Sorry, just 1 second. So explain to me about the licensing agreement. How does that work?
Okay.
How is that different than you just building them five houses?
Yeah, so we've licensed him our technology for Canada, and we are going to come and assist with the first five pilot projects. But then going forward, he's buying our machines and he's buying our high performance additives.
I see.
And our mixes when we get a distribution facility or a manufacturing facility located in BC for our high performance concretes. But he's going to basically be our boots on the ground in Canada.
Yep.
Because there's a vast housing shortage currently that needs to be addressed. United Nations Habitat estimates that we need 3 billion houses in the next 10 to 11 years, which is an insane amount of houses.
That's quite a few houses.
It's insane. It is actually three times more houses than we as a human race have ever made.
Yeah.
In 10 years. That's what we need to do in 10 years. So anyway, so we are not thinking that we want to try and tackle that on our own. So we want to license our technology the world over to qualified developers and people that want to get it done as well, to provide these houses on a mass scale.
I see.
So then we will be distributing our mixes and also disseminating technology. So that's a huge piece and a passion of my father's is to use technology that's already in existence and that more that we are creating to continuously upgrade. This is just our first generation machine. We've got a lot of plans. So we want to just be a hub for innovation on continuously upgrading building materials.
Yeah.
For max performance and max sustainability, and continuously upgrading our machines to enhance the amount of offerings that we can do and to be disseminating that technology.
You're listening to the Equity.Guru podcast.
Just a quick note to tell you, sorry to interrupt your interview, but if you want more of these, you need to go to your podcast player, whatever that podcast player is, and go and subscribe to the Equity Guru podcast. You can do that through iTunes, you can do it through Google Play, you can do it through all the places. Equity Guru podcast. Do it now. Your dreams were your
ticket out. With this licensing agreement, you have a Canadian partner who's your sort of boots on the ground in Canada. And let's say that went well and that partner went on to build 100,000 structures in the next 3 years. Will that provide ongoing revenue for you?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we've got royalty agreements set up, and also he will be buying our machines and buying our mixes. So both,
and
so all three of those areas.
And got part it. Of our services is construction monitoring in real time for quality control and formulation specifications being met and monitored.
Yeah, you're going to need to build up support teams to make sure that, I guess it's a little bit like franchising something, you have a vested interest to make sure that every location is beautiful and good.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if I could go back to your question,
yeah,
there, I did dive in pretty deep with the licensing, that specific licensee, because he is our first, is a big deal, and we're also really, really passionate about providing housing for First Nations and, Native people the world over, not just First Nations. First Nations in Canada, that's what you guys call them there.
Yeah.
If I go back to the business development question. So we are working on a joint venture agreement with a partner who has a number of projects. He's closing and working on closing in the Philippines because they have a massive housing shortage there as well. And as Dad likes to say, they lost 1 million houses in one of their most recent natural disasters. So it's just an insane amount of need. So, and they have a number of waste projects. So they, so our JV partner, or I should say, you know, he's our almost JV partner. We're on second draft of our agreement. We're not signed, sealed, delivered yet. So he's been working within the powers that be there on setting up projects.
Yep.
And funding for the conversion of waste. So they have a number of different sites where they have these large deposits of waste and housing shortage right nearby. So that's
right.
A combo for us. So anyway, so we're looking on partnering there. And we have another what will be licensee. That's just an LOI at this point for he's been doing concrete domes in multiple countries around the world by hand. There's a hand spraying method that you can do them. They just take a whole lot longer.
Sure.
But he's already been doing it, and you know, like an 80 house project in Indonesia, and I don't actually even know all of the projects he's done, but so anyway, he, you know, has experienced the need the world over, and so he's been chomping at the bit to buy our machines and license the technology.
How many machines do you currently have?
We just have the one.
Yep.
But so we are launching into what we're calling phase one, where we're and raising a couple rounds of funding here. And with that funding, we're going to buy all the material and equipment and hire the personnel to make 10 machines at our shop in Kingston. So that should address our first few licensees to sell those machines to, and give us a few more, because we have a couple projects too we've been working on.
Yeah.
Where they're, you know, between 200 to 700 house contract. But so in situations like that, we would want to be prepared to take down two or three machines or ship over, you know, depending on the location, so we can just be leapfrogging the machines and busting out multiple houses.
If I want to buy one of your machines, put in an order now, what does that cost me?
We're estimating a sale price at $350,000.
Yeah.
But you have to license as well. You can't just buy a machine, obviously, because there's all the agreements around quality control and buying our high performance machines.
Oh, that's not so good. I just wanted the machine kind of like a party trick. I could just fight people over and build a dome in my backyard. And how big are these rounds of funding? How much money are you raising?
Well, we're trying to do just a real quick round here for $550,000, so we can get our first permitted structure printed. So we already did one test structure with our one machine, but now we're going to do the permitted one. So we have a piece of property, so it's all ready to go. Got the permits through the system, and that's amazing. And so that's what we're going to just raise that first $550,000 to do a bit of company development. And provide us the $200,000 we need to finish that out. And that's, we just need $200,000 to finish that, because that's in a local market and that's a one-off. So that's not, you know, that's they're going to be cheaper than that for sure on a large scale.
And what would be the price point for I'm sure it depends what bells and whistles it comes with in terms of doors and windows, but basic price point for an 1,800 square foot, 38 foot dome?
On a square footage basis, for a particular market, we should be roughly 35% below market.
So it also depends on what type of contract we're doing, what type of product we're providing, because we're going to be doing turnkey developments ourselves.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing shell only as well. So some developers, if they want to go in and do a high, you know, high-end development, they just basically want the shells, and we can just go, you know, and do those for around $50,000 a piece, just for the shell.
You know, we don't normally track companies that aren't publicly traded yet, because we're an investment website and people follow us because they want to make money. But I do think this is a very fascinating project. I'd like to keep tracking your progress. The other thing you should think about too is, especially with younger investors that are starting to flow into the market, the flow of capital coming out of ethical investing companies is just incredible. People don't just want to make money. They want to make money and they want to feel good about the companies they own. That would give you quite a leg up.
Yeah, and our model being ultimately local empowerment with an overlay of our quality control and execution protocols would serve that purpose very well.
Thank you so much for your time today. Best of luck, and let's stay in touch.
Thanks so much, Guy.
Likewise. Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye.
That concludes another episode of Equity Gurus, A Closer Look. Thanks for listening. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening. For disclosure statements and more info, please visit www.equity.guru.